listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Come like a fire and burn. Come like the wind and cleanse. Convict, convert, and consecrate our hearts for our great good and your great glory. Amen. Today, we are at the very heart of the Christian life. We are here bearing witness to the moment that changed everything for everybody. It is also the darkest moment of all time. The opening of the gospel, according to John, goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not a thing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That Word who is in the beginning, through whom all things were made, the heavens and the earth, the darkness and luminescence itself, that is the person who was pinned to the cross this night. Is it any wonder that the sky from noon to three went dark as the light of the world was being extinguished on Calvary? This is the heart of the Christian life because it is the moment when Jesus, our Savior, won the final victory over sin. The final victory over the power that kept us from being able to be in a close and personal relationship with God, and keeping us from being in the very place that God was. One of the prayers that I offer when healing is needed is that God's spirit of peace and comfort would rest on the shoulders of the one in need of that healing. We know that we can feel the presence of God, meaning God is with us. God is in place always with us, especially in our time of need. When we cannot feel that presence, or when it feels distant, that is the power of sin telling us a lie. As we heard from Matilda, the great 13th century mystic, as we read from her, she says, "The absence of God is the great illusion of the enemy. God does not know how to be absent." Which, if you'll go with me, in a way is to speak of the veil of the temple that we heard referred to in our reading today. That veil was at the entrance of the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, the place where the very presence of God did dwell. The thing is that no one but the high priest, but once a year, could enter into the Holy of Holies. And just outside of the Holy of Holies was the temple, where only the priests could be doing their priestly duties, doing the sacrificial offerings of everything from a handful of mixed grain with olive oil, a handful of grain mixed with olive oil, all the way up to a small 600-pound bull. And just outside the temple was the court where the Jewish men could be, and outside that were the Jewish women. And in the outermost court was the court of the Gentiles, the court where most all of us would probably find ourselves. And if you look, if you take a look through probably all of human history, we'll find those temples. We'll find altars. We'll find paintings and sculptures and monuments, all created by the people of those cultures trying to get close to God, trying to bring themselves into God's space, trying to find that place of transcendence. It's one of the most natural human impulses to try and be one with our Creator. But for all of those attempts, there was really only so close anyone could get. After all, we are here, and God seemingly is nowhere to be seen. Maybe God's here, maybe he's not. Maybe God's there, maybe God's not. But somewhere for sure, that much we've seemed to figure out. But where? And then, for reasons known only to God, God came down in a burning bush, in the wilderness as a pillar of fire by night and smoke by day to lead God's chosen people to the promised land, where he would eventually dwell in a place in which we could also be, in the temple. Through all of those entrances, through all of those courts, behind the veil of the Holy of Holies, nearer to God, incomparably nearer than ever before. And now anyone could be within a few hundred meters of the presence of God, Jews and Gentiles alike. But not only that, God gave us a gift. God gave us the gift of the law by which we could live, a way that would keep us close, the way that God desired for all humanity, one where anyone could choose to be nearer to God than ever before. And if we slipped up and fell into sin, included in the law were ways of making things right. Ways to cleanse us from our sins. That was the work that happened in the temple day by day, but especially on that one day of the year by that one high priest. That one high priest would take the blood of a lamb without blemish and offer it to God for the sins of the whole people. And God would see the sins of that last year no more. They were washed. This is the Jewish festival of Yom Kippur, the festival where the sin was cleansed from the people by the blood of the unblemished lamb. And we're at the moment that is at the heart of the Christian life, because it is the moment when the blood of that once a year lamb is deemed no longer necessary. On Wednesday night, we were in the chapel and we prayed the BCP Eucharist, and in that is something called the Agnus Dei. We know it here through Mike Koop's setting most often. Lamb of God, who takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. That's the Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. It struck me on Wednesday night that Jesus is the Lamb of God. It's one of those things that we sing and we say so often it loses its meaning. But here, in the light of the account of the curtain, that veil in the temple, in the light of the Holy of Holies being the place where but once a year one high priest went in to take the blood to cleanse us of our sins, in this place, hear that Jesus is the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 18:19. You know that you were ransomed from futile ways inherited from your forebears, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest for your sake. Today, we're at the heart of the Christian life because it is the moment that Jesus gave up his life on the cross for our sins. It is the moment that we are washed in the blood of Jesus so that when God looks down upon us, all God sees is you for who you are, created in all of your perfection, nothing else, only perfection. Only God's beloved, as clean as the freshly fallen snow, is what God sees when looking down upon us. That's the power that sin had over this world, is that that's not what God saw before. And that is something that God could not abide with. There was something between us and God, and that was unacceptable, so God came down to rectify the problem himself. Separation was the line. Separation from us was too much for God. And God knew that it was something only Jesus could take care of, and so he came and did it. At the cost of himself. And I found this poetic. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Today we are at the heart of the Christian life because the very thing that separated us from the presence of God, was torn in two. The veil was torn in two. It's often said that the presence of God in this tearing of the temple, it's often said that now we could go into that Holy of Holies. We could make our way into that space and dwell with God. But that's not the God that we know. The God that we know leaves the 99 sheep to go and find, to go and be with the one who was lost. So maybe the tearing of the veil that separated you and me from the very presence of God was in fact God rushing out to meet us where we are. The veil was torn in two because God, the one who brings us home, who draws us home again and again, could not help but tear through the barrier between you and me to get close, to be near, to be nearer still to the one with whom he loves. That we might feel that spirit of peace on our shoulders when we are in times of grief and pain. That we might feel God's spirit of comfort on our shoulders when we shudder at the horrors of this world. It's so that the light and the life of the world could shine through us, through each one of us, no matter what. God shot through the veil to rest on our shoulders and to shine through each one of us. That is the victory of the cross. That is the power of the work that Jesus worked upon us for the cross. The love of God was loosed upon us from the cross in a way that nothing could contain. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Not powers, no height, no depth. Not anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.